At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a certain dark comedy in watching Brian Koberger, a man who slaughtered 4 college students in the middle of the night, suddenly discover that prison isn't exactly the academic sabbatical he must have pictured it in his head. After just a single night on J Block at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, he was already scribbling out formal complaints like a wronged employee filling out an HR form. He complained about flooding, about constant harassment, about the food not being quite up to his standards. He even wrote, word for word, that he was enduring minute-by-minute verbal threats and harassment, and politely requested to be transferred to a different block. His closing line, I wish to speak with you soon. Madam? He didn't say madam. My dear sir? Almost as if he was booking office hours. The irony is staggering. He's a man who once spent his days theorizing about the psychology of killers, convinced of his intellectual superiority, and yet within hours of entering maximum security, he's filing grievances about mush on a tray and mean words through vents. It's hard not to notice the disconnect. He thought he'd be some kind of case study for criminology professors. Maybe even a pet project for Dr. Ramslin. Famous, observed, maybe even admired in some twisted way. Instead, he's just another inmate. Not even a respected one. He's a target, taunted, mercilessly mocked through the ductwork, and ignored by staff who remind him that B Block wouldn't be any better. He just needs to give it some time. And that's where the psychology comes in, because these letters aren't really about missing food or being annoyed with noise. They're windows into his psyche, revealing a man completely unable to process the reality of his situation. He thought his education, his ability to couch things in formal language, would earn him leverage. Instead, it only highlights his social ineptitude and total lack of adaptability. So today I want to dig deeper into this with someone who knows exactly how to break down behavior in high-stakes environments. Former FBI Special Agent Robin Drake has spent his career analyzing people who manipulate, control, and collapse under pressure. He was the former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program with the FBI. When it comes to Koberger, those skills are on full display. So, Robin, let me start with this. Koberger isn't just complaining about prison food. He's laying out formal grievances as if he's still in charge of something. When you read that first letter and then how quickly he followed up with claims of sexual harassment, and we'll get to all of that. What does it tell you about how he's processing the loss of control? Let's get into it. Let's start with the big juicy one, the one that that he doesn't like the most. It's a complaint that he filed. Let's pull it up here on the screen. Okay. August 3rd, he submitted a concern stating he has been subject to threats and harassment recently escalating to overt sexual violent threats in prison. Wow. You don't ever see that happen. The lieutenant received the concern on August 4th. He conducted an interview with Koberger in the J Block and stated that an inmate, which he's naming Peru, which I'm going to guess Peru's canteen is getting filled by a lot of people right now. Peru said to him, "I'll BF you." That's not for best friend, by the way. And then there's also, and he doesn't know if this is from Peru, but it might be from some of his friends. The only ass we'll be eating is Koberger's. These are the things that stood out to Brian, which I found kind of interesting, because I imagine there's a lot more that's been shouted, but those are the two that he got noted in the complaint. What's your reaction to that?
I feel so bad, but so every time his name comes up in prison, I just start laughing. It's pretty bad. My first impression is, wow, good. And it's also the style of writing. He seems to be doing the best he can to try to influence people by trying to be articulate, trying to be manual-like. So again, he's shown his social ineptitude of what he's doing, and he's in misery. Misery's not going to end, and he's got a long, long time of continuing to be miserable.
Do you think, I'm a little bit surprised that we have three complaint letters from him, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks in, or however long he's been there. It's not that long. And these were filed. We're just seeing them now. They were filed at the beginning of the month. So that was very early into his stay here at the Best Western. I was thinking he might have a little bit of expectation that this is what prison's going to be like, because the bar seems to be really low on what he's complaining about. I mean, that could influence somebody. But here's another one. Here's another one that he's complaining about. I have and we'll talk about his writing in a moment, but I'll just try and get through it here. I have on several occasions not received all items of food on my tray. I address
Tony. Can I stop you for one second?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I got to get the door. Okay.
Sure.
I hope we can restart in 1 second.
Okay? Yep. Let me. I'll go through this here, it's really fascinating to dig into what exactly Koberger is trying to communicate and why. That's the strange thing about all of this, and the way that he's communicating it as well. The style of writing, the formality of the writing, and we'll get into all of that in a second. But continuing with the letter, the formalness is kind of interesting. All items on my food tray, I address this during service and have yet to receive any replacements. So basically, they're out of mush over here, and he wants more mush, or he wants a replacement mush. It's just, you know, they're out of it. So he wants them to follow the policy, essentially. In fact, the kitchen is not even called, he says, when he says, "I didn't get my mush." Nobody goes, but oh, Koberger needs his. He wants X. He wants the one that we didn't have. The policy book confirms, so he's studying the policy book, confirms, this is his words, items missing, which are out, basically, it's hard to read his writing, at the time of service will be replaced with another item with or without exception. So then it says, I have tried to solve this problem informally by addressing the issue with the state at the time of meal service. And then I suggest the following solution. I wish for the items to be called for and items replaced when this happens. I don't know. The nutrition standard is not being upheld unless I receive my full tray. And then a signature, which looks like that of a third grader. Like there was like signature day in third grade, and he stuck with that one.
He's really got a inflated impression of who he is and who he thinks he is.
Is that what this really is? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's multiple things here. One, his complete social unawareness of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think he's being exactly who he is. He's very formal, he's very proper. And he thinks by citing rules and regulations, because he's a scholarly man, I think he's trying to come across as scholarly and learned, and he's going to get what he wants. But he still does not understand that he's a convicted murderer of killing four people, and he's serving four consecutive life sentences. He just doesn't get that, I don't think. And he thought, remember, we talked about why, one of the reasons why we think he took that plea deal is because like, I'm going to go have a fine life because I can study, I can be researched, I can still be, you know, the pet project of Professor Ramsland because now she'll study me. I mean, so I think his bubble is slowly being, well, I think fast now, being burst on exactly how miserable his life's going to be. And the other thing, too, is his stovepiping is so incredible to me sometimes about how he doesn't think outside here and his lack of research. So think about this. Tony, I've never been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of great agents that have done tons of interviews inside prisons, and I watch a lot of videos on life, especially since Coburg went in there. I've watched a lot and learned a lot about inside this prison system, you know, one from Brian Enton on News Nation, but also a lot of other people. And the fact that he doesn't understand, I know more about what he can and can't do in prison than he does.
Yeah.
It just shows you his lack of curiosity outside that stovepipe, because this then goes also to, I keep refuting everyone, and I love standing on this one, of people saying how intelligent he is.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not. He's a complete moron. I love you know, being on there with the conclaves where they just say he's not smart.
Yeah.
What true intelligence is not IQ. It's EQ. It's that emotional intelligence. And the five facets of emotional intelligence are awareness of self, awareness of others, motivation, problem solving, and emotional regulation. All those things he has scores a pure zero on, except the motivation. So he appears as IQ high because he fixates on stuff in a small little stovepipe. That's why he was caught, it, why he sucks. And so his prison sentence so far is doing exactly the same thing. He's fixating on this, not understanding the larger picture, what's going on around him. And it's not going to end. And they're going to keep tormenting him.
It's like a magnifying glass on a hot summer day and you're frying ants on your sidewalk as a child. Koberger only thinks through that little piece of the prism that fries the ants, where it's just the hot burning sensation, where the rest of us, if we're going through life with a magnifying glass out in front of us, okay, what's going on around here? We're aware of what the bigger picture is that we're focusing on. We're aware of our surroundings beyond the magnifying glass. Koberger's only focusing on the heat. That little piece of heat that's frying shit is all he is seeing. And anything beyond it, he seems very surprised by. Genuinely. Yeah. Surprised by
100%. And it's also why, you know, he's categorized as a mass murderer, obviously, but not a serial killer. I think he had designs, like you and I have said, of being he would have tried to evolve. It's another better way to put it. I think he would have tried to evolve into a serial killer because he got a large rush out of it. But every other serial killer out there had a social game that he didn't have. It's why they weren't caught. Mm-hmm. And so he has zero social game. Inevitably, he was caught. That's why he's down as a horrendous mass murderer.
Yeah.
Thankfully, four lost their lives, but it could have been worse had he had a social game, much like a BTK or Dahmer or anyone else, really.
And that's the thing with him. There is nothing, I mean, other than he's just a combination of what he's taken up from all these other people and just certainly only looked at their hot spots, basically. What did they do here? I want to emulate that. Other than that, yeah, there is nothing there really to learn. They had, there was character in some of these other folks, as horrible of characters as they were, there was character. He's just like this empty shell where it's like a movie, you know, like a movie building on a movie set. Like, there's the facade, there it is. And you go behind it and it's just plywood and there's nothing, like these windows go nowhere. There's no building here. It just looks like there's a building and behind it is completely empty. That seems to be what Koberger is like. It makes me wonder if he's trying to understand his thinking is so fascinating, but it makes me wonder, does he think he's just this really fascinating specimen that the jail is going to keep him protected so people can learn from him and people can study him? I don't think he realizes that, you know, he's a specimen, but it's not going to be learned from.
I think he's full of hope that that's what it was going to be, because that's what he aspired to be. As we've said, you know, when I think he gave up the ghost of not getting jail time or being put to death, he was hoping to be the study of Ramslin and or people like her. And what he's finding out is he went in with that one expectation in a stovepipe and being notorious and infamous. And what he's finding is he's having to shift pretty rapidly out of being famous to survival. And he's struggling with survival because he's had people. Think about this. I talked about this the other day on something else. He was so surrounded by kindness throughout his life and the people that accommodated him that he doesn't know how to deal with what the situation. So he's got his mother, who's always been there apparently as this major emotional anchor for every time he's in stress.
Yeah.
And we see it right after the murders, before the murder. I mean, she is that emotional anchor. His and I'm not a hindsight 2020, because I know there's a lot of people that are beating themselves up from all the warning signs and red flags are going off around them from the other student, you know, teaching assistants, the students and everything. But think about this. So in their shoes, he was surrounded by people. Give him another chance, give him another chance, give him another chance, because they saw he was trying his best to be gifted, but was falling short on social skills. So people were accommodating him. People have been accommodating him his entire life until now. Yeah. He's got, talking about life reps, he's got life reps of people sucking his ass until now. Yeah. And he has no idea how to deal with it.
What strikes me most listening to Robin's analysis is the sheer predictability of the arc. Brian Koberger isn't special. He's not the criminal mastermind some early media chatter made him out to be. He's a socially bankrupt, emotionally bankrupt murderer who thought he could outsmart both people and systems. And now, he's the butt of the jokes in J Block. Look out for that butt, Bri. A man that can't even get through meal service without drafting a complaint. Like he's citing case law at Chili's. Robin nailed it when he pointed out that Koberger scores a pure zero in emotional intelligence. The man has no awareness and no self, no awareness of others, no problem-solving ability outside his narrow obsessions. His whole life has been stovepiped, laser-focused on small academic or procedural details while completely missing the bigger picture around him. That's why he failed in life, why he was caught, and why prison is eating him alive in ways he can't comprehend. And here's a part that lingers for me. Koberger really seemed to believe he'd walk into prison and become an object of fascination. He thought he'd be studied, interviewed, maybe even revered by the academic world he once aspired to join. Instead, he's being studied in a very different way, mocked by inmates, figured him out in seconds, denied by prison staff who don't care about his paperwork, and broken down day by day by the very system he thought he understood. For a man who took four innocent lives with calculated brutality, this unraveling feels like the only justice left on the table. No transfer form is going to save you, Brian. No policy citation is going to restore your sense of superiority. You're learning, painfully and predictably, that in maximum security prison, your words carry no weight. And that, maybe more than anything else, is what's going to destroy you. Coming up next, we're going to go deeper into what those letters reveal about Koberger's long-term psychological decline and why the red flags in his past were so obvious to so many, yet still ignored until it was too late. Robin and I will look at the academic warnings, the forensic details, and the systematic failures that let someone like him slip on through. So press subscribe so you don't miss that. That is coming up. Wherever it is you're watching us on YouTube, hit subscribe. Same thing on the podcast platforms. If you're not on either one or you want to comment, and I'd very much encourage you to let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski and you will find us. And you can join in those comments there. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,